16th, 145th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Eureka City School Superintendent Fred Van Fleck. Hey, dude.
Howdy.
Nice to see you wearing a tie again.
Again, still. Oh, that's well, right. Last time I was on vacation.
You were doing Pink Patrol, I think.
Yes.
At least that's the way the story was relayed to me.
Yes, that's probably what was happening. That's a regular occurrence right now as we start getting into the fair season.
I see.
And I don't mean that's fair enough as interest. In mediocre.
No, that wouldn't be a season. That's a calling.
Oh.
You brought along a buddy. What's this about?
Yes, I did. I brought along actually one of our career and technical education teachers who is a pillar almost at Eureka High School, Sandy Lofalt, who has been there for a long time. In fact, so long, she probably won't like it when I say this, when I was in high school at Arcata High School, I used to travel to all the contests and everything all around the state with her.
That's correct. This is my 31st year at Eureka High School.
31, and who'd you replace?
Bob LaFranchi.
Oh, when he went down to make cheese.
Yep, to make cheese.
But he was an ag teacher then.
He was.
So you started as an ag teacher, then
and I'm
moved
still
up.
One.
Still an ag teacher. CTE, Career Technical Education, includes ag.
Includes ag.
Oh, and ag teacher. Well, we'll find out if she knows anything about cheese when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Van Fleck and his ag teacher.
Correct.
One of three.
Chaperone.
I'm speechless, yes.
Nailed him.
Totally.
Nailed him.
Totally.
5 seconds into it, I rocked him already. I guess the rest is just going to be bonus round for me, huh?
I think so, yeah.
Very cool. Very
Does that mean
cool.
No mercy?
Probably not. Our quote this afternoon comes from, well, you want Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci?
Up to you, Sandy.
Michelangelo.
All right. Quote, Lord, grant that I may always desire more than I can accomplish.
That's a good one.
I thought you might like that one. Well, actually, the other one's pretty cool, too.
He did pretty well.
Yeah.
Must have had some heck of desires.
Well, and a lot of influence from somebody to do what he was able to do, huh?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Holy Toledo. So what exactly is career in tech? Somebody over there has got to know what it is.
Looking at each other. Career technical education is an activity, applied learning-based class, where the kids actually learn by doing, and they take the skills that the teachers are teaching them and then take them out and apply them to real-world situations. And we're so fortunate at Eureka High School to still have a wide array of career technical education classes from wood shop to business to culinary arts, health occupation, and the ag department.
So it used to be either HROP or vocational tech or...
It's kind of rolled into one. Some of the ag classes are ROP funded. And then it used to be vocational education, and then they changed that word to career technical education just to keep up with the times.
Cool and groovy.
Yes, it is. So people refer to both, and so you just say yes when they refer to it because it really does mean the same. But I think it encompasses more because there's so much more technology implied in the word than vocational. I think vocational, a lot of times people think that kids never get any advanced training if they're in vocational education, and in career technical, it does imply that they're going to get advanced training somewhere. So I think
green
that would
fingernails.
Be it. Do you like those?
Well, I guess if you play in the moss and the mold and the muck and
kind of
egg,
blends
I guess
all
it
in.
Kind of,
no,
yeah,
no, you got it wrong. It's all about the thumb. It's green.
It's green.
Well, so are the fingers, dude.
Yeah, but the green thumb, that's green the thumb. Important part.
Totally.
Okay, yeah, sure. How much technology is represented in these classes? And by technology, I can use here. We've got a lot of stuff that isn't computer, but is still broadcast
technology. So how much, you know, whether it's in the ag mm-hmm. or in the auto shop or any of the others, how much is technology based in that setting?
Well, one of the things that is really become an issue all the way across the curriculum is everything's technology based. That's just what our world is right now. And one of the things that I really want to draw attention to is, in fact, the Ag Boosters Group, who just purchased a bunch of brand new technology for the Ag Department in the form of Chromebooks, I believe it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about the that donation and how that's been working out and how you've been implementing that mm-hmm. in the Ag Department.
At Eureka High School, we really are lacking in computer labs across the board. And so to get a class time space in the computer lab for your students is really difficult. So we have a awesome booster club, and they just did their fourth fundraiser, and they were able to purchase for us last year 16 of the laptops with a laptop cart. And then hopefully this year they're going to be able to purchase an additional 16. So on wheels, we can have classroom set of computers for all of our students for this three teachers to share.
So it's kind of like a mobile unit?
Yep, totally.
We affectionately refer to those as cows.
Yeah.
Computers on wheels.
Computers on wheels. And they are wireless, and so they work great. Our kids get the latest technology. We use them all the time in our science-based classes. Our new mechanics teacher uses them when they're working on shop problems.
How do you get them up the hill?
They don't. They're all at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, they have to come to you.
The kids come to us.
Oh. Okay.
So we have 303 kids in the ag program, and so they get, 303 this year. So we're really excited with that number, and we feel that they're using this technology and keeping up with what's current in agriculture and what's going along around the world.
Now, is ag how to stick a seed in the ground? Is it how to harvest the seed mm-hmm. once it's mature? Is it looking at chemistry and mm-hmm. fertilizers mm-hmm. and water and that? You can see that yep. whole spectrum that's potentially there.
The answer is yes. It is all of those. I think we try to give the kid the perspective of all of that. I think one of the biggest problems that we face in agriculture is literacy, where kids need to learn more.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sandy Lofold and Mr. Van Fleck. Sort of on the Fred, sort of on the Talk, sort of on the Mister.
Well, then it's Doctor.
No, it's not. I will never play doctor with you, man. Sandy, you were talking before the break about the technology really kind of now being applied across mm-hmm. the board through all the different, whatever we're going to call these, HRP or, mm-hmm. or classes. And I think, my sense at least, is with some of the television networks that are now mm-hmm. available. Yeah, you can look at Food Network. That's mm-hmm. one that we hang out at a fair amount, so I'm a little bit more familiar with that. Running a business without makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Trying to run a kitchen without makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out the best designs inside, color schemes, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Of course, you're going to need to have technology, computer, and assistance and things of that nature. How do you avoid the temptation of going way over the top and forgetting, and this is how you break an egg?
I think that's a great point. A lot of times we feel like to keep our program sustainable, we have to have our classes meet graduation requirements, be it the science and ag biology college prep, or if it's my floral design class meeting of fine arts. Where do you draw the line and not teach the kids basic where their food and fiber comes from. So it is really a very tedious balance, and a lot of us in ag education feel like we've almost gone over too far the other way and we're forgetting the basics. So it's in a lot of ag programs, they have an introduction class where they can really teach kids the basics and of agriculture, and our leadership program, the Future Farmers of America. So I do think it's a hard line, and it's amazing what kids don't know that you assume they know. And then it's exciting when you can actually teach them and they actually get it. We have a class called Ag Production and Processing, which Alyssa Sarvinsky teaches, and she does a fabulous job. Her farm family has a dairy farm, and they also
have to explain Sarvinsky.
Okay, you know the Sarvinskys. So she does a fabulous job with that class, and she takes them through all kinds of different segments of agriculture, and she's always current event every day of what's going on in the world of ag, and she's doing a great job.
I would think that would be a full-time class all by itself. Commodities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's going on? Well, just mm-hmm. even with the current weather that's going on in the Midwest, what's that going to do? You know, mm-hmm. yeah, you could fold that obviously into a whole bunch of other areas. Fred, Sandy had indicated that there's a conceptual prejudice against a lot of these programs because these are kids that, quote unquote, don't know how to do regular school. They can't learn, they can't figure this stuff out. So they're going to go into fields with their hands. Okay, fine. And maybe historically that was the case. You know, but I can't imagine anybody, even just getting through at the high school level, not having the competencies to be able to do some things that 15 years ago would blow those kids out of the water, whether they were college track or whether they were going to be high school or military track, just with the technology, with the advancements, with some of the things that Sandy's already alluded to just kind of on the top little tip. Is it fair to stereotype these kids?
Well, absolutely not. I don't think it's fair to stereotype them at all. And I think I'm a case in point. I'm a program completer through the ag program. And I'm in a job right now that's not related to agriculture or hands-on at all. But I certainly love the hands-on skills that I built. And it actually created a very interesting career path for me where I went through being a CTE teacher and actually teaching shop class and welding and all the hands-on things and moving my way into administration and where I actually don't work with my hands at all anymore. So it's important that we remember, no matter who the child is that's in the class, that they may not necessarily be a farmer or they may not necessarily be involved with anything in agriculture. To me, it's about teaching the core bottom line thing. And if I was to boil that down to one word, and this is one of my favorite words recently, and that's grit. And teaching students the ability to have that tenacity to complete the task that they want to get completed. And I think that grit is transferable to any field that you want to go to. And that's one of the things that I really value about career and technical education is the students get the immediate feedback when they're working with their hands on, did I do a good job when I was working with whatever project it is that they're working in the class. Whether they're raising an animal, they get that immediate feedback when they go get judged at the fair, or if they're building a project in the wood shop, they get that immediate feedback about what their project looks like when they finish it up, or if they're working in the auto shop, they get that immediate feedback if they can get the car to start.
Or stop.
Right, right.
Found that to be just as critical.
and that's an interesting piece that you don't get when you're in an English class. You don't get the immediate feedback on whether you know what a gerund is or whatever it is that you're doing exactly, because that doesn't apply to what you may be doing tomorrow.
Yeah, there's no win-lose.
Yes.
Doesn't exist.
Yes.
Grit, wasn't that a magazine we had when we were growing up? Grit, or like a newspaper-y kind of thing?
Poof. I have no idea.
you're nodding your head, Damien. Okay, so I'm not totally out to lunch then. Yeah, some kind of goofy thing. Anyway,
yes,
grit.
Yes, yes.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's a gritty 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's. St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540227, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools, along with Sandy Lofold, who is down the bottom of the hill at Eureka High, I guess.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's our home.
Totally.
Yeah.
Fred, when you start working budgets, I know most folks will go, okay, how much should go to college prep? How much for the basic core? How much for this, for that? And then how much for Sandy's area? Okay, that's kind of cool. I'm a little bit more concerned, even inside of her area, how much is designated to the restaurant, to the business, to the ag, to the shop, and how do you determine which ones make most sense? Is it based on enrollment? Is it based on need? Is it based on marketability for the kids after they get out as either a part-time or a full-time job? How do you weigh that one? And let's just give you a nice, round, easy figure. $1 million. Boom.
Well, if it's
now, she's salivating uncontrollably, so I guess that's a little high.
I know that.
Well, I'll tell
you, how do you determine that?
If it's $1 million right off the top, $850,000 of that is spent on salaries. And so then you have...
But where do you assign the teachers within those departments?
Okay, so if you want to talk about how it's designed as far as who's assigned, because there's really two sides of the house that you can talk about. You can talk about the instructional supplies and how you designate the money for instructional supplies, and then you can talk about the staffing on whether you staff the program or not. So the true expense is certainly in the staffing, and that's where a tremendous amount of money is spent. In fact, like I said, 85 cents of every dollar of the district budget is spent on staffing. So if you drill that down a little bit deeper and like what you were talking about, how do you prioritize which teachers you're going to hire and which classes you're going to offer, a huge piece of that is based on student desire to be in a class. And then the next piece of that is looking at the targets of opportunity. And the targets of opportunity is a study that was done locally here on jobs, and I believe it projects out to 2018. Is it 18 or 16? I think it's 2018. But anyways.
Well, we think ag would be a...
Ag is one of the big ones. Yeah, absolutely.
Restaurant is going to... Hopefully there are businesses still around.
Some hospitality is in there. Also, accounting is in there. That's a big area. And lots of small entrepreneurship stuff.
Do you set the table for those who were then... Every one of those things that you were talking about, other than entrepreneur, is a BA or BS? So are you looking to set the kids up to be able to go to a college and get a four-year degree knowing some of this stuff, you know, the Cal Polys of the world? Or are you looking for those kids who are going to branch out on their own and may not have any intention of going beyond, well, let's say CR at nighttime?
I would say both, because there certainly is, and that's one of the beautiful things about the ag program, is there is a definite path in there for both students. The student that's your straight A valedictorian type student can certainly be very heavily involved in the ag program, along with your student that's just barely hanging on and just barely making it through high school. And they can find their home in career and technical education, and it can enhance the their high school experience. The key, though, in my mind, is a living wage for a student who just graduates from high school is few and far between. There has to be some sort of post-secondary training. And that doesn't mean they have to go to College of the Redwoods. That doesn't mean that they have to go to Cal Poly.
Well, an apprenticeship would qualify, I would think.
Absolutely. Like, even if you go to work for one of the auto dealers here in town, they do post-secondary training within the job. So you can be working and doing that post-secondary training while you're getting paid and moving on, but there has to be some sort of training there, and we have to prepare the students to be able to meet that training need and be able to understand it and really apply. Because one of the things that is important to me, if you think about on the English side of the house, because just because you're in CTE doesn't mean you can forget the other side. One of the highest level written as far as grade level materials is technical manuals. Manuals that teach you how to fix something. Yes, very boring and very technical.
Oh, technical writing is just right up there for me. I took one class and that was enough to mess me up for 5 years.
How would you feel about the mechanic that was fixing the brakes on your car, reading the mechanical, reading the technical manual, reading it at a 60% comprehension rate on that brake job? That's concerning.
About 60% solid.
Yes, yes, yes. So that is something that we really need to make sure that we're cognizant of it and we're working on. But the piece that's great about it is you reach out into these career and technical programs and these students that have the aptitude to really work with their hands, connect them to the school through the CTE program and really have them find their interest in that area and keep them in school because they found something they love and something that they want to move on and do to make a living wage with.
I would think that it's analogous to what music programs can do, what sports can do, is it taps into and makes interesting things that the kids don't really have a lot of connection to. We can go back to Jaren's. You know, for me, it was Mrs. G. It's like, okay, fine. Yeah, great. Yeah, yeah. Mastered it for about 2 weeks.
Yep, yep.
And probably use them every once in a while, but I'm not really sure where or how come. Mm-hmm. You make it through rather mm-hmm. than really developing a solid base of mm-hmm. stuff. So why isn't there a requirement then for college-bound students to take, oh, let's say 2 years, so 4 classes of vocational tech?
Well, I think that sounds like a great idea.
Well, I mean, Fred, you were talking about shop and some of that. Shop.
I think
home ec, the restaurant class, business. I mean, any of these things.
I think it has to do with time of day kids are going to be in school, all the other requirements they made to do, and I do think that a lot of times that CTE kids aren't as valued by other perceptions as other people, and so. It's a great idea. It's been brought up over the years from, you know, the top down, like in the state. And I don't know. Right now, all of our CTE classes are meeting of fine arts requirements for graduation. It was passed for 4 years. I think we're in year two of a trial basis in the state. School boards could opt into it to see how it worked. And so, and to see if more kids, you know, we're doing better because they got to get a fine arts requirement by taking wood shop or any of our auto shops or any of our CTE classes. And we're in year two. And at the end of 4 years, the state's going to decide whether that is up graduation requirements and kids are more engaged in school, whether they'll try to have that be happening again. So obviously CTE teachers think it's a great idea. We know the value of CTE education. Leadership, finding a niche, but I don't know if that would go any further, honestly. It's money. We're expensive programs.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Sandy Lofalt and Fred Van Fleck.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Sandy Lofald from Eureka, well, high school sort of slash Marshall School complex.
Sure, they all go together.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So, you guys have both commented on the investment that's necessary for these classes, whether it's a restaurant class or, notice I keep going back to that one, or business, or ag, or shop. Are there opportunities to partner with the other schools like we used to do? I remember, for example, McKinleyville. That's where, and kids would leave when I was going through. We'd go to McKinleyville for the afternoons, and they would be in the home construction class, or the construction class, whatever it was called.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. And Eureka High at the time had the restaurant. So I'm sure there were kids coming to Eureka High, and everybody kind of had their own area of specialization. Rather than everybody trying to do the restaurant, everybody trying to have an auto class, everybody trying to do home building, everybody trying to do everything. Does that partnership still exist?
Yes, it does, but it's not taken advantage of. And here's the reality behind it. Even if you look at our auto program right now, we have what's called Power Mechanics. It's offered for first-year students in engines, and that's one of the ag classes. Then they go into what's called Auto 2. And then Auto 3 is available to them to go to the Fortuna campus where they can actually go through the ASC certification program. And last year, we had, I believe, one student taking advantage of that. It may have been two. This year, we have no students taking advantage of that. And next year, we're projected to have no students taking advantage of that. And I think that's a factor of a couple things. I think it's a factor of, number one, the inconvenience of getting in your vehicle every day at lunchtime and driving down to Fortuna and making that happen. Number two, the interest in all the other classes that are available on the campus at Eureka High School and taking those other classes and just making that happen. And then finally, number three, students don't want to lose their lunch. They like to be around their friends and be around that group that they're that they went through school with, and it's just, I don't think there's that desire to go to a different campus like that.
I can remember that there used to be an option to go to Redwoods. And you could take a night class.
Mm-hmm.
If there was either a conflict with the daytime or it just simply wasn't offered, that was something that was there. Do any of the kids take advantage of that, Sandy, in the vocational arena? Because I know that there are a number of programs that they have out there that probably aren't practical for any high school to offer.
I don't think we have a lot of students that actually go out to CR why they're in high school taking classes in at least the CTE programs. There are some, but we have, I think the rule is if it's offered at Eureka High School, then you can't take it or get credit for it at CR. So I think that limits perhaps some kids, but I do know that some of CR programs, I believe it's a diesel mechanics program that's not offered anymore.
That's correct.
Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And so some of the classes that maybe our kids would like to take after they've taken a few of ours is not there anymore. So, and again, I think that they're not quite sure what to do, and they're, you know, so they stick with what they know at the schools. And so I think it's limited.
Well, it's certainly a whole lot easier to do that than to venture out.
Yeah.
You know, take another class or...
Yeah.
You know, maybe that gerund class that Fred is so enthralled with earlier in the show. I don't know.
I would add one thing to that, though, too. We've actually been working very closely on a high level with College of the Redwoods. We have classes offered at Eureka High School now. So we're working on bringing the classes to us as opposed to them going to them. And we're very interested in continuing the conversations in some of the CTE areas as well and potentially sharing our shops as the state redesigns their adult education program.
Well, good. If you ever see Kathy, tell her hi from all of us out here.
Yes, absolutely.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Sandy Lofall. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.